This is Pastor Jim Corson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eggers Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, July 10th, 2022. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you strengthen your people and your church. Give us the will to spread the good news of Jesus our Christ and to stand against evil. Let your word light our path and guide our footsteps. Amen.
Our gracious and loving God, there is an old song that reminds us of this place to which we come. Lord, listen to your children praying. Father, listen to your children praying. As we lift needs, concerns, worries, triumphs and joys, struggles and challenges, as we lift ourselves in need of forgiveness, strength for the journey, wisdom in all that we do to follow you. Father, as we lift up needs upon our hearts and lives in our communities, around our nation and in the world, as we see signs of fracture, but we see signs of hope, as we see signs of darkness and division, we also see glimmers of light and promise. And Father, help us to see you at work, to acknowledge you at work, and to join you in your work to which you call us. Father, move within our hearts this morning to comfort and calm, strengthen and cheer up, to let us know of your unending, unknowable love, but yet it's poured out upon us through your mercy and through your grace, through your forgiveness, all exemplified in the shedding of the blood of Jesus our Christ. And Father, while you are spirit and we're called to worship you in spirit and in truth, Jesus reminded us that if we have saw him, we have saw you. So Father, in a way, you have appeared to us in the person of Jesus. And Father, we know he historically existed, not just from the pages of our scriptures, but from history itself. You came and walked among us. Your love and your grace was seen in the very life and ministry of Christ. And Father, today let us rely on that eternal hope and promise that is Christ Jesus. Let us turn to him and offer him to the world as hope, as redemption, as salvation, as change, as love. Father, lead us and guide us in other churches around the world where Christ is proclaimed as the way, the truth, and the life, not to a denominational standard, not to a religious quota, but in faith, in friendship, in fellowship, in relationship, in kinship, and above all, in love. Father, we do pray that there would be peace where there is unrest, that there would be healing where there is hurt, that there would be hope where there is hopelessness, and light where there is darkness. Father, we pray that the truth be proclaimed, heard, into the world around us. For Christ is the truth. And Father, may we seek the way which is Christ, and that we would have life which is Christ. We pray that we are able to share the good news, one by one, friend by friend, that they would accept Christ for themselves and begin a journey of change, hope, forgiveness, and grace. And Father, we pray for those who serve in every way, who volunteer their time, who love the unlovable, who care for the needy, who work into the lives of those who don't know. We pray, Father, today that you strengthen those who give care and those who receive it. Father, we now ask that you hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning our reading comes from Colossians 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all of the spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, we've got Colossians. We've got Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. I want you to kind of think about something this morning and maybe make a note on this so that you kind of got it and can go back to it. The Bible, the New Testament, is written about the new covenant that is in Christ Jesus. And it's really broken down into three different parts. First, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels are written to believers and unbelievers alike. The Gospel means the good news. You're going to hear about Gospel again in a minute. And it means the good news to everyone. It teaches us about Jesus, the call of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus as the Messiah. It is this place that we turn to should we need to tell people about who Jesus is, not was. Please always remember, Jesus is talked about in the present tense, for he's still alive today. So you got those Gospels, and they are the good news. The good news is the Gospel, and the Gospel is Jesus came, lived, died, was crucified, buried, and resurrected. That's the good news for the propitiation, for the payment of our sins. Now, the next section of your New Testament are the letters, the epistles. I call them the Little Johns and the Little Peters and all of those books, and they are written to the church. They are written to believing communities to help them grow to people like us. Those letters are written to edify, to lift up, to encourage, to challenge, and to correct, and to let us know what it's like to be a church family, what we are called to be as believers in fellowship with one another. So you got the Gospels that tell us about Jesus, who Jesus is, his call, his mission, and then we have the letters. And then you got the last one, which is the book of Revelation, which is an apocalyptic book. And for us, it should encourage us to know God's got it. We don't know how it's all going to end, and we just know it will. And we know that Jesus is coming back. For us, we don't need to know the rest of that business. We just need to know what Jesus says. And Jesus says plenty about when that time's going to come. But what we need to hold on to are some of the basics. We as Christians, and I'm going to throw that word out for us this morning, sometimes like things nice, neat, and tidy, but sometimes we like them complicated and convoluted. But sometimes we need to wash it down, clean it out, and figure it out. So here I want to share with you this morning, who are we? We are the church. What does that mean? We're a body of believers who share a faith and journey together, who come to worship, who come to be in fellowship with one another. We call it the family of God. You're all in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're all serving Christ as best you know how. So how do we use the Bible for us? Well, let's take a look at Colossians, the first 14 verses, and ask ourselves, how does this apply to us today? A few thousand years later than when Paul wrote them. How do they apply? What do they call us to? How do they challenge us? First of all, we got to get rid of some misconceptions. Carrie and I talked a little bit last night on our Facebook Live. How many of you watch our Facebook Live? Why not? Why not? You know, it's just a question. Why don't you watch it later? We leave it up. It's about relationship versus religion. There's a big difference. The reality is we should probably not be called Christians. We should not be called Christians. Christian was a name given to us in Antioch as we were being persecuted and killed. And those who were like Christ were singled out to be killed, and they were called Christians, which meant Christ-like. Now, do we feel like we should be called one? It's a pretty tall order, isn't it? But the world has turned it into a religion. And it's never been a religion, but the world turned it into one. It's about relationships. It's about friendships. It's about the journey together. It's about being part of the family of God. It's about sharing the good news. Jesus did not say to go make disciples. He did not go to make religious people. He said, go and make what? How many of you do not know what the Great Commission is for every one of us? But we make disciples, not Christians. Remember, Christians doesn't come for another 300 years after Jesus says, go and make disciples. And what does he tell them to do? Make disciples and do what? He tells his disciples to go make disciples and teach them to do what? What is a disciple?
Believer.
Believer? Yes. What else? A doer? Yeah. But what is really a disciple? Spreading the word? Yeah. A disciple is one who subjects themselves to learning and then shares what they have learned. A disciple is one who subjects themselves, who says, I don't know it all, but I'm willing to learn, and then takes that edification, that education, that learning, and that experience and shares it with the world, making more disciples. It's a personal relationship with the teacher here, God, the Holy Spirit, in the church family, but it's also an extension that you share it in a personal relationship with others. The sad indictment upon the church today is that most Christians, those who say they're Christian, but the disciples, but anyway, those of us who belong in the faith, here's a question for you. How many of you have been a Christian, a believer, a follower, a disciple? Pick one. One who believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you have been one of those for longer than 5 years? Okay? Longer than 10 years? Longer than 20 years? Longer than 30 years? Longer than 40 years? That's okay. You're old enough to cover it. That's good. You're still here. So, needless to say, most of us have been a believer, a follower, a Christian, whichever one we fall into, for a long time, right? I hope we've all been disciples, we've studied the Bible, but now here's the real question. The problem in the world today is religion. The world is filled with religion, and they call us religious. We're not supposed to be religious. We are supposed to be relational. Not religious, but relational. We're not a sect. We're a friendship. We're a fellowship. We're a family. Religion will send you straight to hell. It'll tell you what you need to do, rather than you being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and personally responsible for your journey. Be careful. But you've been a Christian, believer, follower, disciple for a long time. Here's a test. Have you noticed there have been we haven't had any rank sinners come through the door desiring to accept the gospel, have we? I haven't noticed any. Just to be honest. And you know what? They're not coming. What would compel somebody to have been drunk on Friday night to come to church on Sunday morning? What would compel somebody who is struggling with addiction to come to church on Sunday morning if they have had no experience with it? Here's the question for you. As Christians, as believers, as disciples, as all of us have been given the Great Commission to go and make disciples, how many of you have led somebody to Christ? Every believer should have made a disciple. And our children are part of that group. Our grandchildren are part of that group. But the only way you get there to do it is to friendships and fellowship, because nobody is going to take the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ from a rank stranger they don't know and don't trust. Do you know what preaching is? Teaching. Preaching is teaching. It isn't just about me telling you things. It's about an interaction. In the old southern communities, it was call and response. It was call and response. It was give and take. But we as believers, we as disciples, are to be leading people to Christ. I said leading people to Christ. It didn't mean they got there. Our job is to tell them about Christ. You cannot make that decision for anyone. You cannot tell anyone they've got to take it. We are to lead people. We're to go fishing. We're to bring them in. It's up to Christ to clean them. It's up to them to accept salvation and redemption. It's a personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus. It isn't something you can give them. That's why I say leading someone to Christ. You may plant seeds in a field fertile and only one come up. And you may have planted seeds that people have accepted Christ and never know it. But the reality is, we are to be witnesses unto Christ into the world. And I think for a lot of believers, they don't feel worthy to be a witness because their life is such a mess. And if somebody looked at my mess and somebody looked at my life, they wouldn't want to be no part of that. But the reality is, everybody's a mess. How many say amen? Everybody has a struggle along the way. Everybody makes some mistakes. Everybody's got something in the closet they don't want nobody to know about. Everybody's got something like that. You need to understand, you're not the only one that's got a mess. There's somebody else that you're talking to got one too. And they need to know that God loves a mess and helps clean it up. They need to know that God wants to work in every life, for it's precious to them. And Jesus is proof of how precious we are. We as believers are called to spread the good news, but we're not responsible whether they accept it or not. But the part of making disciples is if they do, then you're in it with them. You're on the journey with them. You're in the fellowship. That's what church is about. It's about coming together as the family of God, growing together, learning together, struggling together. People that give their life to Christ should become part of a church family, not a denominational thing. That just is something that happens along the way sometimes, but part of a church family. What does a church family look like? Why is it important? First and foremost, the church family is important for just that very reason. It's a family. It's important because it's about relationships. It's about friendships. It's about loving one another. What does that look like in the church? It looks like Pat Norris's family who come together, who have a meal, who share in their friendships. That's one thing that it looks like. What else does it look like? It looks like somebody struggling with whatever, and they know they can come and find safety, security, support, and love. But folks, we're called to make disciples. We're not called to fossilize in a pew, to ignore people, judge people, or decide who we should tell the gospel to. So let's look at the gospel real quick. Notice what Paul says. They're in Colossae. It's Paul writing. Timothy's actually writing it down for him. In our prayers for you, we always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Community, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, that is the power of God to help us love one another when we're broken, when we're different. It's God at work. It's God at work in us. It's God at work through us. You have heard. You underline that if you still got your book open. It begins by sharing the word. It begins by telling people about Christ, your relationship with Christ, your struggles and how God is working in your life. Doesn't mean you go get all the skeletons out of the closet and say, here they are. But it means that you're honest, open, and truthful. They have heard of this hope before. In the word of truth, the gospel, the truth of who Jesus Christ is, that has come to you just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and comprehended it. Can you imagine someone that's never darkened a church door, never attended a Sunday school class, and all that they've been exposed to about the Christian faith, about our journey, about believers, is what they've saw in the media, what they've saw on social media, what they've saw on televisions or radios. Can you imagine what their perception of us is? Crazy, crackpot, judgmental, hateful, and mean. They don't want anything to do with us because we're going to judge them. We got to turn that around, church. We as Christians, believers, followers, have been labeled a religion, and that's not what we are. We're relational, not religious, relational. That's who we're called to be. That's what we're called to be. That's how we're called to be, is relational. Not just anything else, but relational is where it begins, continues. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you, verse 9, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that's what the disciple is after, to know and do God's will. That's what the believer's after, to know and do the God's will. And in all spiritual wisdom, let the Holy Spirit guide us and understanding so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. What do you think pleases God? Do you think you can do enough good works to please God? Ain't happening. Do you think you can lead enough people to accept Christ to make Him happy? Probably not. What makes you happy? What would make God happy? How many of you got kids? Anybody? People you love? What makes you happy about those people you love?
When they listen and obey.
When they listen and obey? That's my wife. When they don't have to be told and do it on their own. When they practice what they've been taught. When they love as they've been loved. That's doing the will of God, and that's how we honor God. We honor God not by numbers and statistics, but by living it out. With integrity, honesty, and love, and grace. Yes, we should keep the commands of God. Don't forget that they're there. Remember, He said, teach them to obey all things that I've taught you. So that's important. Why does God give us commands? Oh, by the way, He doesn't give suggestions. And they're getting multiple choice. Ready? They're waiting on you.
There are guidelines for living.
Guidelines for living. The life. Why does He give them to us, though?
Loves us.
He loves us. Yeah, okay. That's something. Yes. Okay. Yeah. The kid got it, too. Why does He give them to us? Because He hates us?
He knows what's best for us.
He knows what's, he wants us to get along. He knows that if he don't give us some guidance, we're going to be in trouble. He knows that we're going to make the wrong decisions. We're going to make the wrong judgments. And so he gives us commandments, not suggestions. And the first one is what? What was that? Love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Jesus will give us number 11, which is love each other as I have loved you. Folks, this is what we're called to do. And you can't love if you're not in a relationship where you are sharing your journey, where you're sharing your successes, where you're sharing your failures, where you're sharing your strengths, where you're sharing your struggles. Honesty and truthfulness abound in a relationship, both with God and with one another. That's what we are called to be. How do you know that? Verse 11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure. I guess it should come with a warning. Warning. Accepting God makes you an enemy of the devil, instead of a pawn. Being a believer, accepting Christ, puts a target on your back. But you need to understand, the only power Satan has is the power you give him. He's defeated. He won't win the victory. And he isn't omni-all. He isn't omnipresent. He isn't everywhere. So you're going to have to know when you're targeted and when he's attacking, and tell him to flee in the name of Jesus. Don't let him use you to lie, cheat, and all those other things. If you don't let him, he has no power. He's defeated. He's defeated. But you can choose. Enduring with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints, who has given us. We become part of the family. Did you see that? We become part of the promise. We become part of the light instead of the darkness. He has rescued us. He has brought us out of that power of darkness into the light. He's brought us from destruction into life, from death into life, from hopelessness into hope. He has brought us out. God's done it for us. We have to accept it. We have to accept what Christ has done. And into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. We are all guilty of sin, without a doubt. We all fall short, without a doubt. Even the Apostle Paul said that. We are, or maybe should be, subject to God's wrath and judgment. How many of you want what you deserve? I ain't raising my hand and I'm holding them down. How many of us want mercy at the hand of God? How many of us want to be redeemed through the forgiveness of our sins, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and only through the blood of Jesus Christ? Redemption, redeemed out of, rescued out of, brought out of, not because we deserved it, but because of His grace, because of His love, because of His forgiveness. I'm honestly amazed He don't just wipe this ball clean and start over. Have you looked around? When you read the Old Testament and the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah, they can't hold us a candle in the wickedness in the world today. The lies, the deception, the sin, and the blatant arrogance, and the dishonoring of God, and the denying of God, and the manipulation that goes on. Not to mention all the other stuff. I'm amazed that to borrow one of Carrie's favorite words, that he hasn't smote us and just started over. But you need to know, one day he will. And Jesus shall come and judge the living and the dead. Redemption, salvation, grace. Relationships, friendships. Tell somebody what Jesus is doing in your life. Tell them you're broken, but he's putting you back together. You're still struggling, but he hasn't left you. Tell them about his love. Tell them about his grace. Tell them about his redemptive act. You can lead them, but they have to decide. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. And Father, we thank you that we have opportunities to share the good news. Father, we pray that we honor those opportunities and that we realize we ourselves, through forgiveness of our sins, have been redeemed, brought out, set apart, peculiar. And Father, may we cultivate friendships and fellowships that honor you through love and grace. And Father, may we share your love and grace with others, that they too could become a part of the family of God, not just part of a church or denomination or something like that, but to be in fellowship and friendship with believers, to love one another, to help and hold each other, to share the journey together, to share our successes and our struggles, our trials and our triumphs. Father, I would pray upon us this morning, renewing of our heart and spirit, that we would share the good news with others, that they would have an opportunity to at least have heard and be given an opportunity of their heart to accept Christ as their Savior and Lord. For Father, it is not your will that any should perish, but that all would be saved. Father, I would pray today that people would accept a loving God sacrifice in Jesus, rather than turn a cold, deaf shoulder to it and find themselves in a torment for all of eternity. For we all will live forever, but where will that be? May we not stand before you one day and have to account for having not shared the opportunity, for not sharing the hope, not sharing life. Father, we can't make them do it, but we should at least help them get there so they can. Hear our hearts and prayers in Christ's name this morning. Amen. Now may you go in peace, grace, and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.